Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Now you listen to me. I want details, and I want them right now. I don't have a job. I have no place to go. You're not in the mood? Well, you get in the mood.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
We try and teach our children not to make fun of others.
Mongoloid Mike, is that what you used to call him? Bust his head open with a stick. Remember that?
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
You think you're ready to run with the bulls?
I've been earning and burning, snapping necks and cashing checks.
Look, Brendan, here's the thing. It's the Catalina wine mixer. Okay.
Ah! Are you saying pow? What are you saying?
Pow! Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
How come there's no ice in my lemonade? Sir. Drop down or you give me 10 now.
The Fan.
Hey, let's do this final hour. Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080. The Fan, thanks for being with us on a Wednesday. Hope your Wednesdays are going well. Got a lot to get to in the final hour. Stat or story coming up here in a few moments. Baltimore Ravens to get into game two of the World Series is tonight. Lots still to come. Have you guys noticed on Twitter that you can no longer retweet?
What do you mean?
You can't retweet anymore.
Why can't I retweet?
You can only quote tweet. So if you click and I don't know if this is just
what?
online thing. Yeah, try and retweet somebody.
Well, I mean, what am I going to retweet?
Just click a random retweet button.
Okay.
And it'll pop up as quote tweet.
No, you just click retweet and it retweets it.
Where did that come up? When I do it every time, it pops up as an automatic quote tweet. I don't have the option to do it anymore.
You just click retweet without writing anything and it's a retweet.
That's what I'm pressing and this pops up.
Yeah, now hit retweet. Don't even type anything.
Oh, okay, I got you.
They just changed the functionality.
They changed the format of it.
They want you to quote tweet if you can.
Gotcha.
But if you have nothing to add to it, which, by the way... Way too many people in our industry love to quote tweet instead of just passing along the very basic information.
Yeah, I saw that. People were tweeting about that today, and I was like, wait, you really can't do it? And I clicked, and I was like, wait, I can't figure this out. Well, you just solved that problem for me.
I follow people that, like, quote tweet. Like, the Seahawks will say, Jamal Adams not playing this weekend. That'll be the actual tweet, and I follow media members who then quote tweet that and add,
Jamal Adams isn't playing this weekend.
Doesn't sound like Adams going to be suited up for the Hawks this weekend.
Yeah, I think the Seahawks are going after Antonio Brown. You guys see that? I'll keep an eye on that one. Hey, this one caught me a little off guard, but I do wonder how people feel about it. So World Series is concluding. Game two tonight. We're inching towards the end of the season. It was a weird baseball year. They tried some stuff. Seven-inning doubleheaders, runner on second, expanded playoff. And we've kind of been wondering all year, not only with baseball, but with every sport, what is going to stick in the future and what will continue to happen. Well, Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, has crawled out of his cave and given an address to some media members. And he says that he likes the idea, and he says, I'm choosing my words carefully here, of an expanded playoff format. I don't think we would do 16 like we did this year. I think we do have to be cognizant of making sure that we preserve the importance of our regular season. But I think something beyond the 10 that that we were at would be a good change. He also added that he likes the runner on second rule to start extra innings. He said, I think the players like it. I think it's really good from a safety and health perspective. That keeps us from putting players in situations where they're out there too long or in positions that they're not used to. So of the changes that he wants to see, that baseball saw this year, that he wants to see continue, expanded playoff, Rob Manfred a fan of it. Also, the runner on second to start extra innings. How do you feel about this?
I don't like it.
Both of them? One of them? Are we against all of
it? Well, I've already made my feelings known on expansion. I think it's always better to include more cities and to get more interest throughout the country in your league than to just simply play 162 games and say, we're going to have six teams. Like, okay, cool. Of a 30-team league, most of those cities will stop caring in about August. But, you know, the thing that I look at with the base running thing, you want to put it after a certain inning, okay? 15th, 16th inning, like you get real deep there and you're flirting with maybe almost playing two games. All right. 10th inning? We're going 10th inning? You're putting a
run
on second?
Bat, baby. Boom. Jumping right into it.
Not in.
Not a fan of it, Swagger?
Although, I want to just add real quick, I could be very, very swayed the other way by just watching it happen and quickly. If my team benefits from it right away.
That's the way every fan base feels about it.
I could change my tune.
It's like extending the PAT. You feel great about it if you got a good kicker because it's not a fear, but wait till your team doesn't have a good kicker.
I'm still not a fan of that.
It's going to bite you in the ass eventually.
Still not a fan of that.
Well, they've been doing it in the minor leagues for a few seasons, so the younger players coming up are kind of used to it. In a full 162-game season, there is some value to not I'm assuming they will go back to the normal sized rosters of 25 or 26 or whatever it's going to be.
It was going to be 26 this year, I believe. Yeah, that was a rule change last offseason as well.
So, yeah, I might be more, maybe do it after the 12th. If you get to 12th or the 13th inning, then let's speed it up and let's wrap this up at this point.
Yeah, until your team loses a World Series game because the other team started.
They won't,
you can't do it in the playoffs.
They won't do it in the playoffs. Yeah. They won't do that.
That's an odd thing to have and then to get rid of.
The NHL does that with the shootout. They have shootouts in the regular season that you do one overtime period and then you jump right into a shootout. But if you go to the playoffs, you just play
till somebody scores.
Yeah, so I still think that's odd.
It is weird. And that got a lot of pushback in hockey when it initially happened. But what it solved, at least, was games tying. Now, baseball doesn't have the problem of games tying. But, I mean, you do occasionally have games that go on too long. We'll see. I mean, the Players Association is going to have to approve these. I don't see why the expanded playoff wouldn't get approved.
Yeah. Because
you're getting more guys with a playoff share.
More guys getting the playoffs. I'm assuming he's thinking maybe 12 teams, so six in each division.
Okay, yeah, you know.
Because it was going to go to 10.
Yeah, and you used to be.
It's been at 10. You have two wild cards. So
right.
I'm curious how they'll do it, if it will be the second place team in each division or it'll just be the three teams with the best record. Next best records in the entire league.
Right, and then you obviously would have to have buys in a situation like that, so you'd have to have a wild card round where everybody wouldn't play.
Yeah, you would have to pull the division winner with the worst record into it.
Yeah.
If you went to 16.
Yeah, very similar to kind of what the NFL used to be, and that's not the case anymore because you only have one team with the bye.
I don't mind that if they keep this sort of same format, so you have three games all at one place.
Yeah, get them over.
Then the next round, whether it's five or seven, try and speed it up as much as possible. Now you still have to travel because you'll be back in venues.
Right, normal time. It's not going to be.
I mean,
bubble.
The biggest thing I loved was playing every single day. That was fantastic.
Yeah. I was a big fan of that, too. I think it helped the momentum of the series, too, of having something every day. And
well,
it just kind of kept you going.
It forces you to use your whole pitching staff.
Yeah.
Well, but you're not doing that for 100 more games. That's just something you're going to have to look back on and enjoy.
What do you mean?
Playing every single day?
No. In the playoffs.
In the playoffs.
Well, yeah, you're not.
In the playoff series.
This is a COVID thing. That's all it is.
Yeah, you would get it, I think, in a wild card round situation where you could play three straight days.
With the expansion, sure, yeah.
Yeah, because I think the fear has always been, you know, you get the one-game playoff. The argument for it, at least, is that you have – not everybody plays, obviously, in the wild card round in that situation. And you don't want teams sitting around for a week and waiting to find out their opponent. So if you go two games in one spot and then an off day and then you fly back the other, like that series could take 5-6 days and then you extend out when the next round's going to start. So I'd be okay with that, 3 straight days. But yeah, you get back to a normal playoff format from then on out. You're not going to play every day because you're going to have home games and travel days and all that kind of stuff. I said it. I'm with you, Sprague. I love the idea of an expanded playoff. I thought it was fun this year. I think in a long season, you have to find ways to keep fan bases engaged. And in a sport like baseball, we saw with the Astros, the run that they went on almost getting to the World Series, mm-hmm. that everybody's got a chance. So even if your team sneaks in, it's not like the NBA 8 seed where it's like, all right, we're going to go be a sacrificial lamb for the Lakers or the Warriors. We got a chance to pull off an upset and go on a run. And I think that's something good for baseball that you can keep markets. It's a regional sport. You follow your team and that's about it. And you give fans a reason to follow their team longer. I view that as a positive. The runner on second thing, I don't know. I'll be curious how the Players Association feels about it, because there was some grumbling from some players that didn't like it. Some players were a fan of it because it got games over quick.
Yeah, and
it did. They don't want to play 17-inning games, right? Especially on you got a travel day the next day, whatever the case may be. So I'll be curious how the Players Association feels about that one. And I would hope, to what you were saying, that there is a middle ground that baseball could find of, we don't want games to go 22 innings.
Yeah,
we don't need to do it in the 10th inning, but you just got to find what inning is it? Is it 12th, 13th, 14th? Like, when do you do it to implement
after
it
the 12th,
to get the game
yeah,
over
I think
with?
13th inning is when you start doing that.
Yeah, you give them a couple cracks.
Another hour, assuming you're playing at a somewhat normal pace.
Yeah, you're at a 3-hour pace.
Now
you have one more hour
you're
on.
At 4 to 4.5 hours. Everybody wants to get the heck out of there.
Yeah, so that, I mean, this is going to be one of those things. I mean, baseball's coming to an end this week. The NBA obviously already done. The NHL's already done. Like, we're creeping towards that just football season period for a while. And I think these are the kind of things that I'm curious to watch of what sticks in every sport that they did. You know, the NBA is going to have the question of the play-in series for the 8-9. You know, did you like that? Do
oh,
you
that's
do it
staying.
Next year? You think that's officially
going to
stay?
I think that's staying. Referee mics are staying. You
know,
they
the
came
they
over to the table and communicate their explanation instead of having to go to the commentators. Reggie Miller goes, hold on.
It takes the headset
takes
off.
Takes the headset off. And you still hear him. And then Reggie's like, okay, this is what he said. We're all like, we know, Reggie. We heard him.
Right.
That's going to stay. You won't play every day, and you're going to have to deal with travel, but I do wish the NBA and Major, I think these are kind of similar topics. I hope the NBA looks at cutting days off down. Not playing every day the way they did, but don't go from game 2 to game 3 because you went to a new city and you have 3-4 days off.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Come on, we don't need that. Fly in, take the day.
Sure, travel
and then,
day.
And then take the next day and play.
Yeah, I'm with you. It adds a good sense of urgency to the series.
Does.
You don't kind of slip out of it for 2 days and then get back into it.
Mm-hmm.
So Rob Manfred talking, he says he wants to continue to see an expanded playoff, and he also likes the extra inning rule. He said something beyond the 10-inning thing that they were at would be a good change. Or excuse me, that was 10 for playoff teams, but he likes the 10th inning rule of a runner starting on second base and extra innings. It just depends on what inning they like it at. So a couple of changes that happened this year in Major League Baseball that could be sticking around. We have a poll question up on that. We'll give you the results coming up here at the end of the show to see what you liked and what you want to see continue in baseball. Let's get to your favorite segments. Favorite segments, sad or story next on The Fam.
Crunch the numbers.
There's 6,127 students at Addison, 58% of which are girls.
So
that's 7,107.32 boobs.
Break the news.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Is it a stat or a story?
Evidence based on olfactory prowess is inadmissible, in case you didn't know.
This is Stat or Story, a monumental judgment call with Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Come on, don't miss.
The Fan.
All right, folks, Statter Story time on a Wednesday. We'll get to the Ravens coming up here, bottom of the hour. Some concerning numbers about their offense. Should they be concerning? Get to that. But what do we got today, Swag?
Your first number is 43. Is it the total number of putouts executed by Mookie Betts in his Major League postseason career?
43.
Or is it the number of consecutive years the Peanut special It's the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown has aired on free network TV before this year, which will end the streak? Apple TV has the rights and is not scheduling on ABC.
We just saw this story yesterday.
I told him this story.
You did. Now, you said putouts in his postseason career.
Yes, Major League playoff putouts.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and say this. Now, I'm wrong on these.
And I have a counter to give you an explanation of what I think.
It's got to be more than that. The guy was in the playoffs how many times with the Red Sox? They went to a World Series. They were in an ALCS. Like, it felt like they were in the playoffs every year. Now he's with the Dodgers. There's been more playoff games this year. He's made, I feel like, 15 outs this year. Just putouts. Just catching fly balls.
But you have to think about this. Is it really not? I think that's a good number, though.
I think it's
how many fly balls is he really getting? You can mention all those games all you want. How often does your favorite outfielder catch a ball in a ball game?
I mean, you think
game?
On average you're
one?
Getting... No, I think you're getting more than that. More than one a game. I would have met right fielder. You make a plays. I'm going to say it's now, more than 43. I'm going to go story.
Can I try to just counter this?
Sure. What year was 43 years ago?
Yeah, tell me what year it was. 1970-something? 77?
Yeah.
It was a 77?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, so here's where I'm stuck. When I read this story and then told his ass about it, there was a 7 in this. But I can't remember if it was 67 or 77.
When did Charlie Brown become a thing? I don't know.
I think in the 50s.
Was it that long ago, really?
Maybe the early 60s.
But was it on TV right away, or did it become a thing later after coming out? You know what I mean?
I think you might be onto something there. Yeah. A tradition started.
A cult classic, if you will.
I'm going to go with you here. I think we've walked out this logic.
Going story.
And I think it started in the 70s, not the 60s.
That sounds right.
And by the way, before he reads this is absolutely terrible that Apple TV is doing this to us.
Yes, it is.
But go ahead and tell us if we're wrong or right.
Yeah. Mookie's got 43 putouts. In his postseason
At least
career.
It wasn't less. So I got that going for me. It's only been 12 over 15 years.
I really hate you.
Here
I hate you.
You gotta stop guessing with me. I'm terrible at this game.
You had a good week last week. I know you're riding a heater.
I did.
CBS first aired It's the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown in 1966. It aired annually.
1966?
Yeah, I was wrong.
CBS had it. Then ABC got the rights in 2001. But this year, Apple TV,
screw Apple TV.
Has it. Now, they say they usually require a membership, but the Halloween special will be available for free from October 30th until November 1st.
It's a special treat. Sign up with credit card information.
But you've got to go, sign it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So stupid.
Not happy about this.
Is this going to be the case with all the Charlie Browns then?
They're worried it might be the case for the Thanksgiving and Christmas one.
Yeah, there's three of them, right? There's Halloween,
The streaming service acquired exclusive rights to all Peanuts programs earlier this month. That includes Charlie Brown Christmas and Charlie Brown Thanksgiving as well.
Luckily, I bought the Christmas one. I wasn't chancing
it. See how much backlash
they
get.
I think I'll be on that one too, actually.
Hey, dude.
Randomly.
I'm not sitting here telling you I watch all the kiddie movies, but there's a couple that are just kind of traditions.
Yeah, Charlie Brown's always good.
All right, your next number is 22. 22. Is it the individual number of innings in the World Series Clayton Kershaw has kept the opposition from scoring, including last night?
Ooh.
So the inning itself put up a zero in the inning.
Hmm.
Or is it the number of medals won by Oregon breweries at the recently conducted Great American Beer Festival?
So he had 5 innings last night.
So in his World Series history, if my math is correct, he has made 4 starts. 2 against the Astros, 1 against the Red Sox. I think he only started 1 game against the Red Sox. You know, maybe it was 2. Maybe he started game 5.
He got shelled in one of the Stros games.
And I know he came in game 7 against the Astros because Yu Darvish was bad. Kershaw came in and held him down for a couple innings.
So that could be 6 to 7 more.
I don't think it was quite 6. I think it was more in the range of 4.
No, I'm saying last night he had 4.
He
had 5 innings of shutout baseball because he only gave up 1 run in his outing. And he went 6 innings. So that's 5 right there.
Dude, that sounds pretty accurate.
That does
to
sound
me.
Accurate.
Yeah, because a lot of it's been blow-up innings that have got him.
Stat.
I'm going to go stat, too. God, we are bad at this game.
Actually, 23 World Series innings.
Whoa, dude, yeah, I mean,
saver right
I'm not
there,
mad
man.
About that. That
he,
was
he kept the opposition from putting up a run.
That does. He's given up a lot of runs in the other innings because his World Series ERA is still north of five.
This is at OregonLive.com. Oregon Brewery's 22 medals. At the 2020 Great American Beer Festival, it was held virtually over the weekend. 9 gold, 6 silver, 7 bronze.
Our good friends
at Pelican brought home a silver.
Let's go.
Let me scroll down
Which
here.
Which beer won the silver?
I'm scrolling down. Oh, yeah, the Updrift, one of the IPAs.
I have not tried their new one. I need to try their new one. The dark one that just came out.
Oh, Nepper was talking about that.
I'll pull up the picture so I can remind myself.
So, yeah, there were a handful. I think there were 6 or 7 that won 2 medals. But it was the second biggest haul for Oregon breweries.
The Malt Midnight.
In
Malt
history.
Cocoa Porter. Yeah,
so they won. They hauled back 25 medals in 2013.
Look at us, Oregon. We got good beer.
Yay,
shout
Oregon.
Out to Pelican, man. That's awesome. I know everything. It's been a tough year for breweries, especially because you've had, you know, in dining experience, you know, taken. A lot of them rely on that. They got a great restaurant there. So. This is good news, man. I like to see great local companies.
So, yeah, OregonLive.com's got the whole list there. If you dig around, I think it's in the lifestyle section or whatever.
Okay.
There you go. All right, your final number, 4,404.
4,404.
Yeah, 4,404. Is it the number of World Series at bats taken by the Dodgers in the entire history of the franchise?
Oh, God. I hate you.
How the hell?
I hate you.
Come on.
This is a guess.
This is a great story.
Okay.
Or is it the amount of money in U.S. dollar equivalent that Brazilian politician Chico Rodriguez allegedly had hidden between his butt cheeks when police raided his home in Boa Vista as part of an ongoing probe into the misuse of funds for the COVID-19 pandemic response.
They found it between the cheeks, huh?
Can your butt hold $4,000 in cash?
That's got to be a pretty big stack, I'd imagine.
Wide frame.
Well, it was in...
Are we coins, too?
It was
hidden
in
coins?
Brazilian currency.
Well, still, I mean, don't they use paper?
Would that be more bills? I'm assuming their currency isn't as well off as ours is.
Unless he went drug mule with the coins.
I'm going to Google that. 4,000, what's the conversion rate?
I don't know. Probably a lot.
The, what is this? R-E-A-I-S?
14,000 in whatever they have.
Reis, I guess, is what their currency is called.
So 4,000 Brazilian real equals or whatever the hell.
R-E-A-I-S.
Oh, is it Brazil money, not American?
So that, I'm just saying, I did it the wrong way. That equals 713 American dollars. 4,000 Brazil, 713 America.
No.
I know, it's 4,000 American dollars, no, right?
Right. You got to go the opposite.
I know, I'm saying I went the other way. So it's far more than 4,000 bills is what I'm saying.
Are you not going to give us a number?
Okay, hold on. Calm down. I got to type it into the Google machine to Brazilian.
You just have like a plug and play thing?
You know, I'm trying, okay? I'm not good with technology. I didn't know retweets worked.
I don't do a ton of research.
That is 22,433 Brazilian reals.
I mean, how do you clinch it? How do you... Now that he got caught, so maybe he only put so many and they just kind of fell out.
They got $5,000 bills down there in Brazil. Make this a little easier.
At bats. How the hell am I supposed to even know? I don't even know what a team averages in a playoff run.
Well, it's 27 outs in a game, so you just extrapolate out from there.
Well, you got one extra inning game.
You got four at, you know, top of the lineup always gets 4 usually in a normal game. Maybe the bottom of the lineup and low scoring only gets 3.
Did you say playoffs or World Series?
Just in the World Series.
In the World Series in the entire history of the franchise.
How many have they been to?
Well, they went to a bunch. I mean, not a ton, but they went to a number of them as the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Okay.
They, of course, have been to went to a bunch early on in the L.A. Dodger era. The 1980s was very fruitful for the L.A. Dodgers. They then didn't go to one for about 30 years and then now have been to 3 in the last 4. And one of those series went 7 games, which adds a lot of at-bats. I have no clue. I'm going to say that this is...
Stat.
This is too much money to put in your butt. I'm going to say stat, too.
Wait. I have to. I'm
That's
sorry.
A lot of money. That's a lot of butt money right there.
You might get one. Your butt money theme is right.
It's
I'm going
a butt
Oppo.
Ton of money.
Give me big butt story.
It's a stat.
Yeah!
Now, was my math right or wrong?
Dodgers have been to 23 World Series in their history.
Oh, no. I'm saying how much money did he have in his butt?
This is from CNN. Senator Chico Rodriguez, representing the state of Roraima. In the federal Senate, the raid took place in his home in Boa Vista. According to a Supreme Court order citing the police investigation, police video allegedly showed Rodriguez with about 15,000 rias. That's about $2,700 stuffed into his briefs. During the search of his home, more money was found by authorities when the senator allegedly put his hand inside his underwear and took other bundles of money, totaling 17,900 rias. That's essentially worth $5,800 US.
Jeez. Why wouldn't you go like bury it somewhere?
Yeah, that's a good question.
You're trying to hide in your pants? 15 like that, dude. That's
a panic move.
That's a panic move.
He of course claims he had nothing to do with this. I will prove that I don't have and that I didn't have anything to do with any wrongdoing. He wrote.
And why are you putting money in your pants there, bud? That's usually a dead giveaway.
Dead giveaway.
Money in the pants is not a good sign of innocence. If you didn't do anything wrong, you're not shoving it down your trousers.
Dead giveaway.
I mean, are you trusting Senator Chico anyway?
No, I am not.
Rodriguez.
I love the people that maintain innocence all the way to the end. Isn't that funny?
Has Giuliani tried to maintain
nothing wrong
innocence after the picture?
Yeah, talk about putting hands down your pants.
Brazilian Supreme Federal Court Minister Luis Roberto Barroso wrote that the investigation was necessary to determine if Rodriguez was using his parliamentary function to divert money destined to face the biggest pandemic of the last 100 years.
Isn't Brazil pretty corrupt? Politicians.
I believe so, yeah.
I'm
not super keen on my Brazilian politics, but I believe yes. The answer to that is yes.
I think Odell Beckham Jr. would fit right in Brazilian politics.
Did you see what he said today?
I did see that. No. It was great.
He said he can't catch COVID. They have a mutual respect.
COVID don't want none of OBJ. So I think he was joking.
Yeah, yes.
It was
yes,
good.
Yes, he was joking. There you go. Status story every Wednesday. That was a good one.
Good stories.
Those are good stories today. There are some concerning numbers for the Baltimore Ravens, despite the fact that they are 5-1 to start the year. Should they be concerned? And what's going on, if anything, with Lamar Jackson? We'll get to that coming up next. Welcome back in. Game 2 of the World Series coming up tonight. We'll get to that. Got some poll questions to answer. Also, Rudy Giuliani put his hands down his pants. I'm going to give you some facts. You ready for some facts?
Yeah.
These are football facts.
Okay. Kay? I like football facts.
Fact. The Ravens are 5-1. Okay? You ready for another fact?
Sure.
The Ravens are averaging 30.6 points per game compared to 29.8 points per game at this point last season.
So they're better.
Fact. However, there are some advanced analytical numbers that have people worried about what's going on with not only the Ravens offense, but also Lamar Jackson.
Here come the nerds.
Here come the nerds. They're going to ruin the party. The Ravens team, their average gain is down a half yard per play. Its average time of possession is dropped by about 5 minutes per game. And its offense's EPA per play. Do you know what EPA is?
Estimated,
because I didn't know this, I had to Google it.
Points per association.
Exactly, you nailed it, man. it is expected points added.
Oh, okay.
You follow that? Yeah, I know. I saw this and I was like, huh? EPA, ERA. What are we doing here?
Sando uses that stat a lot in his articles, and I wanted to look that up. I forgot about it, and then you brought it up again. I'm like, crap, I didn't look that up.
So their offense's EPA, expected points added per play, has been cut in half from where it was at this point this season. Furthermore, the main concern is what's going on in their passing game. Since week 3 of the NFL season, Baltimore ranks 27th in EPA per pass play. The only offense with a worse EPA over that time is Adam Gase's New York Jets. So, they're as good because they're 5-1 and the points per game are solid.
Yeah.
And they're as bad analytically of the yards per play are down, their time of possession is down, and the passing game has not been clicking over the last handful of weeks. Should we be concerned about the Ravens' offense?
I think it's evident the running game isn't quite what it was, and I know you can look at the pass stats if you go deep analytics and find some flaws in it. It should be noted, too, this is a stat that almost everybody kind of agrees is an important one for quarterbacks, yards per attempt.
Yeah.
He was at 7.8 last year. He's now dead at 7. So he's almost a yard down from where he was.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you should really be worried about the offense yet. I can understand the cause for a little concern, but when you're as good as they are and you're beating teams, I'm not encouraged by teams that are allowed to get back in it. And then also they have a huge Kansas City problem. They cannot beat Kansas City. And that was the biggest game of the year. They completely no-showed and Kansas City made him look like a rookie. There's probably always going to be some question marks around Lamar Jackson as a passing quarterback. But the athleticism and how deep your playbook can be with both the run and pass attack with an athlete like that, that should not go understated. In fact, I think that's what you would point to and say, sure, not perfect.
Yeah.
But if you have the right pieces around, because he, to me, is not a guy as good as he is, and he's in league MVP, he's not the guy that single-handedly takes a franchise and wins, right? He doesn't have the Mahomes skill set to overcome a bad defense, overcome maybe a weapon or two being out with an injury, the offensive line being banged up, mm-hmm. or a first half not even going your way.
Sure.
He doesn't quite possess that. He's a damn good quarterback. I'm really happy to see him turn the narrative of who we thought he was going to be, the we is in the media, and become a league MVP. But I think you're almost always going to be talking about this kind of stuff with him because some guys just aren't as talented with their arm. He's good. But he doesn't have the Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes skill set with his arm. But the athleticism, you can't question
that.
It
speaks for itself, yeah.
I think the defense...
He's your leading rusher this year.
Yeah, the defense allowing teams to make comebacks. Like Philadelphia, for example, they're a scrappy bunch. I've heard nothing but about Carson Wentz all week. I think he threw for 220, by the way. But them coming back, you can't allow that to happen. If you're a great team... You can't have a team like Philly come back on you. And their running game's taken a dip.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just mentioned it there. He's a great athlete, and you want to get him out in some space. But Mark Ingram and that running attack doesn't quite seem to be what it was last year, where it was you could just count on it to get you 200-plus yards on the ground.
It felt like an unstoppable force the entire game that teams did not have an answer for.
And I think some of that is maybe questioning a little bit of the offensive line. Maybe you question the backs now. Maybe Mark Ingram hits a wall here. Not all backs get to play for Frank Gore amount of years. So I don't know what the answer is. All I know is Lamar Jackson is still pretty damn good and a weapon that I wouldn't be considering moving on from.
Yeah, some of the other numbers on the passing game, and these aren't terrible numbers. They just, when you come from a season like he had last year, it's hard to duplicate it. His completion percentage has gone from 66 down to 63. Not a huge drop, but a decent one. You mentioned the average yard per attempt down just slightly. He has already been sacked 15 times this year through six games. He was sacked 23 times all of last year. So that one leads to the offensive line questioning. And then the quarterback rating, which, you know, who the hell knows what goes into that, has gone from a 113 down to a 99. 99 is still a good quarterback rating. But again, it just speaks to how dominant he was last season. I wonder, too, like I was reading this morning and I thought it was interesting. And I have wondered this kind of from afar watching them at times this year outside of that opening game. When they just absolutely boat raced Cleveland, it was like, oh, there's Baltimore. They're back. They're going to run through everybody this year. They did it with Houston the next week as well, so I'm giving them credit for that. But then they lose to Kansas City in the way that they did. They had the game against Washington that was a win, but like, they didn't look like their dominant selves, I would argue, for chunks of that game. The Cincinnati game was really ugly, kind of a rainy game, and their defense dominated most of that. And then this last week, you play Philly, and you allow them to get back into the game. Their next, I believe they're off this week, and then they get the Steelers coming up the next week. I think that's what I'm looking for Baltimore, is one of those kind of performances against a defense like Pittsburgh's that has one of the best rush, or maybe that game is this Saturday. I'm on my clock.
No, Pittsburgh's playing Tennessee.
That's right, they're playing Tennessee, yeah. So it's the following week. So yeah, that's right, they moved it. It was supposed to be this week, and they moved it to week eight. So I think that's the kind of one I'm looking for. I also wonder, like, the other two parts of it are, for me, one is how much is this Baltimore being such, they know they can win these games. Like, you're playing three straight games against Washington, Cincinnati, and Philly. Like, dude, how engaged are you if you're Baltimore? Like, you won the division, you won what were they, 14-2 last year? Like, they can go through the motions and win those games and don't have to be dominant. So that was my first thought. And then my other thought was, I think we're wondering as this offense continues to evolve, it caught people so off guard a year and a half ago. And then last year, they just burst onto the scene. How much of it is now having an extra year of film and being able to understand a little more of the nuance of what they're trying to do? It's a complicated question, but I think if they come out and beat Pittsburgh next week, I think a lot of these concerns are gone.
Well, you know, to that, I think what we know about pro athletes is there's letdown spots. I can't give Baltimore a pass when you allow multiple teams to make comebacks on you. Now, give them credit. It was a really ugly win against Cincy, but their defense was phenomenal against the Bengals.
They just ate Joe Burrow alive.
They couldn't do anything. I don't think they're that team, though. I don't think they're the team coached by John Harbaugh to overlook the poor opponent on the schedule. Like, they don't circle Philly and go, well, we're going to win this game, no problem. I think they played a good game, and then I think they just couldn't execute at the end to really hammer that game down. They should have won that game by damn near 20 points.
Yeah, I had the Eagles plus 10, and I was terrified. I was like, oh, God, this thing is over.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people did. I contemplated putting the Eagles in a tease up to 16, and they were down 20. I'm like, God, they're not even going to cover a 16-point spread. They're too good of a team and too well coached to do that. And by the way, you play with fire when you do it, because if you take a week off because you think, oh, this team's not that great, the NFL will humble you quick. Mm-hmm. And if you play that game, it's also dangerous because they're not only in a battle for home field in the playoffs, they're in a battle with Pittsburgh.
Yeah, they're behind them
if
right now.
If Pittsburgh beats Tennessee, they are ahead of Baltimore, and then they square off. And if Pittsburgh wins that game, they've got an extra game on you to not only get home field, but to win your division. I looked it up on Football Outsiders because I hadn't checked it in a week. Baltimore right now in run blocking, it's 23rd in the NFL.
Not good.
In pass blocking, they're 24th.
Yeah.
So there's always a myriad of aspects to why a team kind of struggles for whatever reason. Lamar Jackson is going to get some criticism. He's probably going to get the bulk share because his contract's coming up. But the offensive line is not quite what it was last year. Some of their skill players have not, you know, been what we thought. Like, people are enamored with Hollywood Brown.
Yeah.
And he's a good player, but
hasn't been the buzz factor that we thought.
Yeah, he's a small speedster. He's kind of like a Deshaun Watson to me, Deshaun Jackson.
Yeah.
He can maybe hit you deep on burners, but largely he's not a possession receiver. I think you look at defense, and they had a great game against Cincy, but they also are the same unit that couldn't hold that Philadelphia offense, who has largely nobody healthy right now, outside of a guy we'd never heard of 3 weeks ago in Travis Fulgham. They let them come back and almost tie that game.
Yeah, so there's good news for the Ravens. If you're looking at this saying, stop it, nerds. They're 5-1 and scoring 30 a game. Some of the advanced analytics, not overly complimentary for the offense, but you're going to find out about them. Their next five games, Pittsburgh, Indy, New England, Tennessee, Pittsburgh again. Those are the next five games coming up for Baltimore.
What do you think Baltimore's thinking about him? And where would you put them in the AFC right now?
I mean, I would still argue you take him over, 85%, 90% of NFL quarterbacks because of his legs, and you live with the shortcomings of his arm from time to time, and so you just know you got to play from a lead. Your defense has to help you out, play from a lead. You're going to be able to lean on guys, run the football, and win games. But a lot of that contract stuff will be determined over these next five games and how the rest of the season goes, because we're inching towards it. We got some poll questions to answer, and we got game two of the World Series tonight. We'll wrap it up next on The Fan. Well, Rudy Giuliani got caught with his hands in his pants, literally. The new Borat movie comes out on Friday, which I'm psyched for. I think it's on Amazon Prime, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he didn't want to chance it not being picked up by a major studio, so he took it to different stream formats.
Netflix, Amazon, that kind of stuff.
He had a couple people. I read a piece. There's a really good piece on him, Sacha Baron Cohen, just the actor and person. He doesn't do a lot of stuff. He actually hates celebrity and fame, and he lives a pretty simple life.
Mm-hmm.
He had a quote in there where him and his wife, Isla?
She's an actress, right?
Fisher, yeah. They came out of a restaurant years ago, and paparazzi were there, so that he like put his head down with his hand, and the camera guy or the paparazzi's like, dude, you're a B-lister. We don't care about you. And he turned to his wife, like, we're B-list.
Yeah, hey, they don't care.
But he just hates fame. And this New York Times writer has been trying to write a piece about him since he did the first one, which I think that one came out
2008, something like that.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. So he finally agreed to do a sit down. It's really good. It kind of gives you an idea of his backstory, how he got to where he was. Like, he wasn't a guy who thought he'd be an actor. He tried to be a chef. He was told he was too tall.
Really?
Yeah. And he's
got to be too tall to be a chef. Is that a thing?
Well, he got hired.
Shame?
So he knew a Michelin rated chef where he was growing up. So he went to the person and said, hey, can I work here? And the guy said, no, you're too tall. So he went to another kitchen and somebody gave him a job.
You like banging your head on doorways or something? What's going on there?
You know, it got a great story of his parents working hard to get him a better life and all. I'd highly recommend going checking it out. But the thing with him is he wanted to make sure people could watch this. And he actually had a few streaming networks say no. They said, too controversial. They didn't
really
want it because he wanted to air it before the election.
Ah,
that was an important thing for him.
Interesting. Yeah, the trailers have looked hilarious. It comes out Friday. I think this is just what we need in 2020, but we're starting to get snippets of what is in the movie. And reportedly there is a scene where, so the backstory is he now is bringing his daughter from Kazakhstan and he wants to marry his daughter to like Trump or something. He wants to like, you know, have a relationship between the two countries and he's trying to marry his daughter off to the American government. That's the backstory of the movie. There is a scene in which his daughter is with Rudy Giuliani and they're having like, they're drinking scotch and he's smoking a cigar. And then after it, she invites him up to her hotel room. And the hotel room, of course, is fitted with private cameras and all that stuff so it can air in the movie. And I'll just read you the Guardian piece. It says the former New York mayor, current attorney to Donald Trump, is seen reaching into his trousers and apparently touching his genitals while reclining on a bed in the presence of the actor playing Borat's daughter, who is seen posing as a TV journalist. Borat, then Sacha Baron Cohen in the scene, runs in and says, no, she's too old for you, or, you know, makes a Borat joke, and then they run out of the room, and that's kind of the end of the scene. I will say I haven't obviously seen the movie yet, but somebody else tweeted that says they saw the scene that says it's not as bad as it is being made out to be, that she like ripped, he had like a microphone or something, and she takes his microphone off and that takes his shirt out of his pants and he's tucking his shirt back in, I think was what the guy tried to insinuate. But just something to keep an eye on as Borat comes out on Friday.
Yeah, I've seen Rudy Giuliani on TV. I'm not buying that was just tucking a shirt in simply on a...
What's this going to do for the ratings of that? Because I was already excited to watch it. I knew it was coming out on Friday. I was like, dude, have a couple of drinks, watch. I'm excited to see it. I wonder what this does for it.
I don't think it changes it much. I think people... The first one was good.
I loved the first Borat, man.
It was creative. It was different. You couldn't tell what was staged and what was real. By the way, there's a piece in the Time story. He gets to it. You've seen it in the trailer. He found two conspiracy theorists and, you know, they're kind of backwoods bros that just buy into all of the crazy nut stuff. And he basically, as the character, lives with them for an entire week. And he said he had to stay in character for a whole week. If he broke character once, they would have known.
They'd realize who he was.
He had to stay in character. That way he could find out to get them to expose themselves of what they believe and why they believe it. And he says the craziest thing is that these seem like normal, nice, caring people.
And then you dig a little deeper.
And then once you stay there after a while and they get a little comfortable, they start kind of opening up and you're like,
whoa. Where the hell did that come from?
And he can't break character, so he had to stay in character the whole time and kind of like awkwardly laugh with their conspiracy theories and kind of go along with them. And
it's a whole different level of acting when you got to do that kind of stuff. And it's Friday. I'm excited for Friday.
He's really good too. They just had the Netflix the Chicago Trial 7.
Yeah, he's in that movie too.
He plays Abby Hoffman. He's really good in that movie. And the wife and I watched that the other night. It's a very good movie.
Yeah, that's on the list to watch here coming up soon. Let's roll through the poll questions quickly. Rob Manfred wants to keep the expanded playoff and the runner on second to start extra inning rule. What do you think? 35% say just keep the playoff expansion. 28% say get rid of both of them. 27% say keep both. And then 9% say just keep the runner on second rule. We didn't get to this today. We might tomorrow. Is it time for the NFL to change their rule granting a division winner a playoff spot in a home playoff game? 62% of the audience says yes. Do you give Lamar Jackson a mega quarterback extension this offseason? 52% say no, wait it out. And then should Seattle sign Antonio Brown? 62% of you say no, that they should not. Game two of the World Series, Dodgers, Rays, Gonsolin versus Snell. Who wins tonight?
Dodgers.
And the Dodgers win tonight?
I think they get some homers off Snell, get him out of there by the fourth inning.
Ooh.
Yeah.
They win tonight.
You need the Rays to win.
You throw in the towel a little bit. We're not feeling good. Swagger, are they going to do it?
Tonight's going to be a hand wringer. I think Snell, because his last outing wasn't great, I think he's going to be ultra-focused, okay. And I see this one being very low-scoring, getting into the late innings.
Okay. Well, we'll see. Should be a good one. You can hear it over on 910 ESPN Portland. If you miss any of the show, Les Schwab Tires Podcast, 1080thefan.com. is where you can find it. We'll tweet it out at Turton Sprague and at 1080 The Fan. Thank you for being a part of our Wednesday. We'll talk to you tomorrow at noon. And what's next? Listening to 1080 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.